Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Pressure Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show brought to you by Hit the Pass. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, all right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Press Row Podcast. Rich Grisham here. Owen Good from Polygon is here. Kat Bailey from US Gamer is here. Brian Weedy from Pasta Padre and Hit the Pass is here. And we are here tonight to have a little fun. We're always here to have fun, but we're here to talk specifically about a topic that, you know, it's amazing. In the 3+ years that we've done this show, we've always sort of touched upon it here, casually talked about it there, but we've never really had a focused conversation on it. And when I say it, I mean the subject of whether Madden NFL from Electronic Arts will ever have competition. As long as this show has been going, there has been no licensed competitor for Madden. In fact, it's been about a decade. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Before we get into it, I just want to say a couple things for those of you who are listening. This is not a debate about whether Madden is good, right? In fact, I would say that all of us probably would say that Madden is somewhere between good and really good. You know, all of us on this show, we all enjoy the game to various things. I think none of us would say it's, you know, the perfect football simulation, but we all play it. We all enjoy it. So, you know, there's not a, you know, I think it's important to know our opinions on it, but, you know, there's not going to be like an anti-EA angle coming from here. It's also not a debate, you know, about whether or not competition would be good. Of course, competition would be good. Nobody would debate that either. Like, as much as we enjoy Madden, we would love to have a second and even a third option for a licensed NFL game. So what we are here to talk about is, realistically, what does the landscape look like? Will Madden ever have competition in the space, right? And I wrote an article for the Sporting News a week and a half ago or so that basically came to the conclusion that no, it won't. And part of it is based on the premise, of course, that they have the contractual exclusivity. Okay, so obviously having the license, the contract with Electronic Arts to be the only producer of a game for video game consoles like the PS4 and the Xbox One that has NFL teams and players and likenesses, that's a big deal. But let's just say, you know, for example, one day that exclusivity license is no longer in place and the field is opened up. What are the realistic implications of that? Will they ever have competition? And I personally say in that article that even if that weren't the case, there's still no way that Madden would have competition. And I'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what my reasoning is. So we've got Kat, we've got Owen, we got Brian here today to talk about this as well. I haven't really chatted with any of these guys before this conversation about it. They may completely agree with me. They may completely disagree with me. So it's going to be some fun. So we're going to talk about that. So I'm going to start with you, Owen Good. My hypothesis, or not my hypothesis, excuse me, my theory is that no matter what, because of a number of factors, Madden won't ever have competition again when it comes to a simulation video game experience that uses the NFL and all of its accoutrements. Is that a fair assessment, do you think? Or if not, why not?
Argumentatively, no, because you never say never. But practically, yes, for the time being. And that's because the development cost, the development time, and then more importantly, the marketing outlay, which I'm sure we'll get to in a second, have all scaled up considerably in the decade that Electronic Arts has controlled the exclusive license to make NFL video games on console and disc-based PC. Since 2005 and the end of the long-lamented NFL 2K5. What we're talking about is, it's not so much whether you can get a working engine going, things that include real-world physics, real-time physics, or things that look, you know, organic, natural, entertaining, or even, you know, creating presentation angles and you know, camera work and having a broadcast studio and performers and things like that. It is the necessity of rendering the NFL as you see it on your television every Sunday and Monday and Thursday and whenever else it broadcasts into a video game. And that, as consoles have become more sophisticated, and that, of course, is where licensed sports video games do their most business, you know, that is something that has become incredibly more granular, sophisticated. It's the kind of thing that even if you were able to put in, even if you had a team that could work on spec for cheap, building intelligence for offensive lines, for, you know, defensive coverage, for wide receivers running routes, you still have to figure how long is it going to take to render 32 real world stadiums all of the personnel, and that's 53 times 32 on the active roster alone. And head scans are, as we've seen with comparisons of the NBA games, very important because when you get those wrong, they look ridiculous. It's just it's the kind of thing that has spiraled out of control in the need to in the means to create and deliver the kind of photorealism that we're used to. Because sports video games, the licensed ones anyway, are more about, you know, replicating what you see on the television more than what you actually play in real life. And I don't see how someone with an NFL license can put that kind of a product out in 1 or 2 years. And a work that speculative really needs, like, you know, some apocalyptic scenario where Electronic Arts just abandons the license for no reason, which it would never do, or the NFL kicks them out, which it would never do, or there's a complete, you know, change in the hardware that we're playing video games on, which I can't foresee. I would say that, you know, under the present structure and certainly the present incline of development, no. It's just getting too hard, and you need too much of the foundation that Electronic Arts has to produce a credible, marketable, and enjoyable NFL licensed video game.
Cap Bailey, same question to you. You know, within the foreseeable future, and I don't even mean just the PlayStation 4, Xbox One console generation, but whatever comes next, you know, there are no guarantees there'll be another PlayStation or another Xbox, although, you know, chances are pretty significant that there will be. You know, will we ever see a legitimate AAA competitor to Madden with an NFL license in the foreseeable future?
Never say never. I more or less agree with Owen. I don't necessarily think so, but I hear this argument that it's too hard and too cost resource heavy, and you have to scan so many athletes' faces a lot. I hear that argument quite a bit. And I guess my counterpoint to that is a large studio like 2K, which would obviously throw a lot of resources at a NFL licensed video game, I believe within the space of 2 years could in fact get all those head scans. And presuming that they didn't use their own engine and use something like Unreal, probably could in fact make a pretty darn good football video game. I think, especially if they found a way to repurpose the NBA 2K engine. Now, I'm not saying that they could, and I'm kind of partly talking out of my butt because I have no idea like what the ins and outs of doing something like that would be, but if NBA 2K proved anything, I mean, they came out in the current generation and within the course of a year, completely changed a huge chunk of NBA 2K, completely revamped their franchise mode, completely changed the way that you're dealing with currency and everything, put in so many new features, massively upgraded the engine, the whole nine yards. And I'm not entirely sure what the development cycle was, but they made it happen. And I have to assume that based on their track record, they could make something like that happen if they were motivated and they somehow got the NFL license. Now, it's been speculated that the NFL is happy to just have EA being the only one with the NFL license because they get more control over that way. They like to have one entity controlling each of their licensed properties, whatever. And EA obviously has a good track record, so there's no need for the NFL to necessarily, rock the boat. But if something bad happened, like if for whatever reason they pulled an NBA Elite with Madden in the course of like trying to massively upgrade it and end up not shipping, not saying that it's unlikely, or I'm not saying that it's likely, but I'm saying that something similar to that has happened in the past. I mean, like I said, never say never.
So, Brian Wiedising, question to you. In the foreseeable future, which in the world of video game technology is, 4 to 8 years, will there be a Madden competition? Is there even a chance? And if there is a chance, could it actually happen?
Well, Owen and Kat covered a lot of it already, but if there's one, there's only a few sports that really could support multiple games in today's market, and the NFL is definitely one of those, but any new game coming in would be an underdog. It would have no guarantee of success, but they'd be paying out for immense licensing and development costs up front. And only to try and get a portion of that market share. And we've seen with games like just recently, NBA Live, where they basically scrapped and started over, that when you fall behind, and this whatever new game, whatever it would be, would naturally be behind Madden by a number of years, that it's difficult to make up ground. You see that with NBA Live because they started over, but at the same time, its competition has continued to get better and better, and it can't close the ground in between the two of them. And that's a difficult thing. And now, but you do have avenues now, like the digital revenue and everything. If they were to come up with some unique way to differentiate from Madden, again, there's potential appeal there. Now, is it likely to happen? No, because as Kat said, NFL loves exclusivity, gives them control. They make more money that way, and it's just not a likely scenario to ever happen. We saw people's hopes get up over Joe Montana football this summer, and that was never even a plausible possibility. So unless there's something where NFL license out, hey, this company here, you can make a virtual reality game for us or whatever, because they already have other NFL licensed games on mobile. There have been licensed games on Facebook, social type of games, where the exclusivity license does not apply. So there's possibilities there, but I mean, it's hard to envision that far out because, 10, 15 years ago, we wouldn't have thought we'd basically only have one game per sport. I mean, it's taken such a crazy turn over the last decade plus. But it's hard to envision a scenario where you have just direct competition coming into the market for Madden.
Oh, and before we get to our next item, I know you had some thoughts particularly related to the 2K.
Yes, 2K has resources. It has, certainly Visual Concepts champing at the bit. You know, that's a studio that goes back to 1990s under different ownership wanting to make an NFL football video game. It is absolutely not in Take-Two Interactive's character. That's the parent company owning 2K Sports, 2K Games. You know, to undertake something like this, that is a company that has moved steadily away from licensed properties, not just in sports but anywhere else. In fact, of the licensed video games it makes, I think only NBA and WWE, which it acquired at a fire sale from THQ 2 years ago, are the only ones left. And, NBA is a license to print money, or at least the way 2K has built it up, so they'd be foolish to abandon that. But there's no appetite, there's nothing in its character in Take Two's character that says, yes, we want to take on the enormous speculative spend that would be necessary to, you know, create an NFL title, even though it is the glamour sports marketing brand in North America. You know, even if they had a crack at that license, it would take, you know, just peeling off, you know, or hiring an additional segment to Visual Concepts to build up something that could create an engine that once they got the NFL license, they would only need a year to put in, you know, the NFL specific assets, the players, the uniforms, the stadiums, all that other nonsense. It's just, it's not something that 2K has looked upon as, you know, a win. It's like the margins on these kinds of highly licensed titles are not something that it wants to have any part of. And NBA is just sort of a, NBA was something that it held before the current ownership, and by that I would mean, you know, Strauss Zelnick, the current CEO, who more or less led an investor revolt against some really terrible management that made some very risky, feckless decisions. Some of them, if I'm not mistaken, some of Take-Two's management prior to Zelnick's takeover even went or were hauled in on insider trading securities charges or things like that. But the bottom line is 2K's, you know, reputation with 2K5, NFL 2K5 and the MLB title, that was under previous management. The current ownership of that company doesn't want anything to do with licensed titles. And they got into wrestling because no one else did and because they could have it for a song. And they're sticking with NBA because that is something that is a decade old that previous ownership acquired from Sega. And it, you know, beats Electronic Arts five ways to Sundays. I just don't see 2K having any interest in this kind of thing at all. And then you start talking about, well, what other major publishers would have, you know, an engine, you know, to that they could, you know, whip up something quickly for in the NFL? And the answer is like nobody. And yep. And so, you know, you're really seeing you're we can get into this later, but what we're seeing right now is the difficulty of transitioning out of an exclusive license. And that lesson, it comes from MLB 2K, which is was 2K Sports' reaction to losing the NFL license. And we still don't have an MLB game on the Xbox either.
Well, look, we get questions about, you know, if college football games come back, and those are not being made now because for legal reasons, essentially. But if college football games come back, who might make a college game? And probably all of us would say the only one who would be EA. And that's because they have assets in the bank. They have the experience with dealing with those partners. They have an engine and other assets they can borrow from Madden, just like they shared over the years. And they have these are such massive projects to just get off the ground from scratch that it's unthinkable for another company to come in and try and create a game on the level that we expect from licensed titles these days.
So one of the reasons that I sort of came to my own conclusion that you won't see a game was based upon some math, and the math could very well be flawed. I'm the first to admit that, right? So if you factor in the license, which we don't know what the license is, which continues to sort of amaze me that EA as a publicly held company doesn't have to disclose that. But, and, you know, Owen, I wanted to get your quick thoughts on this as I keep rambling. But, I mean, we don't know exactly what it is, but we do know that it's a pretty high price that EA pays to the NFL for the license, the rights to make the game. You know, there's commentary out there that it's second only to what the NFL gets from in their TV deals as far as the value of that contract. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, I realize though that second to the TV deals could mean, I mean, the TV deals are in like the hundreds of millions, if not the billions, collectively. So second to that, even if it's tens of millions, it, you know, is comparatively a lot smaller. TV still, you know, runs that show. But I have seen in the past, you know, figures from the NFL Players Association that have gone as high as $30 million in royalties. Of course, they had restructured payments, and this was in light of the oncoming labor stoppage. Oh, God, 4 years ago. Has it been that long? Where the PA was wanting, you know, some money up front, and EA obliged. I think it would be fair to say that, you know, the licensing fees to both parties, you know, that make Madden a meaningful NFL game, that would be the league and the PA, are at least in the tens of millions. And, you know, that's some big boy change right there. When you're talking about, again, just even if EA said, you know what, we have pushed this thing out so far, we're so good at what we do, we have driven out all other comers in the marketplace. We're going to tell the NFL, you know, take this license and shove it partially. We'll be glad to do this on a non-exclusive arrangement. We won't pay the premium. And the NFL went, huh, you know, okay, we'll let that out and try to find somebody else to make up the other side of the revenue. The NFL is such a Cadillac brand. I don't know, again, you know, what, who'd really think about the major publishers that could pay this kind of thing, whether or not they have studios with technology ready to go. Activision. I mean, does Activision want to get involved in this? Activision got out of NASCAR. You know, Konami has no intention of making video games anyone cares about anymore. And they have a baseball engine, and they don't want to get into Major League Baseball in North America. You know, who else would really be, you know, willing to go into this? There's not a lot, especially when you consider the North American publishers and the console makers. You know, Sony is sort of there again. Sony has MLB The Show kind of in the same way that EA has Madden, in that they just sort of were there first. And, you know, this is the story of iterative development, which is, you know, if you try to build something from scratch in the year 2016, it takes a hell of a lot more effort than if you build it from scratch, you know, in the year 2005. So there's not a lot out there, you know, who have the money to pay the kind of licensing that the NFL would expect after 10 years of its deal with Electronic Arts. And you look at Major League Baseball, and a big reason that it isn't anywhere on Xbox One, much less Xbox 360, which is now completely irrelevant to this discussion, a big reason is because Major League Baseball Advanced Media has an absolutely overrated opinion of the value of that license. And nobody wants to go in on that.
Kat, I know you have some thoughts on this.
Well, if I were presenting the case, both sides of the case, to 2K, and they said, well, what's the value of getting the NFL license when it's so friggin' expensive? I would point out a few things. I would say, well, Take-Two Interactive wants to be a... Take-Two Interactive fancies itself as a really big publisher. It's like one of the best publishers. They tout franchises like GTA. And NFL is a big license, and having the NFL would be a big deal. I think so. Madden and FIFA are probably the two most important sports licenses right now. I mean, NBA definitely like pulls in the money, but at the end, and it has an international following and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the NFL has greater standing, at least in the U.S., than the NBA does, and it would be a big deal for Take-Two to have that among their stable of established franchises. The other thing is, if you look at EA, they're printing money still hand over fist with Madden and FIFA's Ultimate Team, because God, I've experienced it firsthand. People go in there and they buy all those bundles and they buy all those cards, and they've managed to monetize that six ways from Sunday. So, I mean, that's another revenue stream right there that offsets the costs of the licensing and the development. They make so much money. And I think the final thing that I would point out is that Madden is consistently one of the best sellers in the U.S. always, despite not having a great reputation. And you have to think that if they can turn a football franchise, an NFL franchise, into something on the level of NBA 2K, that it would blow the doors off here in the U.S. because it has such an established bedrock audience. And if people hear, oh, yeah, I mean, NFL 2K17 is friggin' amazing this year, so much better than Madden, that it would do really well, really, really, really well. There's a certain amount of safety to an NFL game that comes with paying a ridiculous amount for a license. Now,
so, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, I think that was, I had another point to make, but I think those were the biggest ones right there. But yeah.
So a couple things. So in the math that I did, right? So I basically came to the conclusion that someone's going to have to spend about $150 million to put a viable, you know, AAA NFL licensed console football game out there. And that's based upon, you know, assumptions about the numbers around the licensing. And then it's based upon conversations with several people in the space who, you know, have experience making football games and or other games where, you know, the general consensus, you know, specific numbers might change. But it's like you're going to need a team of between 20 to 40 people for 2 to 3 years to make a viable game. You know, certain things are made easier in the year 2015. You know, some of the free to use technologies like the Unities of the world, and you could go, like, you know, Ian Cummings suggested in the article, you know, you could go buy like the old Backbreaker tech. You know, there's a lot of sort of fundamental building blocks that you can get, but you still have to do all of the hard work, and where Madden has it over anybody else is a lot of those, you know, 25, 30 years of assets, right? The faces, the stadiums, the referees, just a lot of the little things that, you know, frankly, almost all of us, it's not everybody that plays this game, don't even realize anymore because we're just so used to it. So that's, you know, so you're going to have to spend about $150 million to build it out. Now, on spec, as you said, Owen, like on spec, you know, to find somebody who's going to, you know, write a check for $150 million and wait 2 to 3 years to then, you know, put something out there, that's a pretty big ask. But conversely, you know, Kat, you kind of touched on this, although I think you probably maybe undersold it a little bit. You know, EA was losing money about 3 years ago. And for a span of about 2 or 3 years, you know, starting 5 or 6 years ago, they were in a bad spot. They have turned it around financially. In fact, the last couple of years, they've dramatically improved their numbers, and they're now profitable. Just in the last day or so, their quarterly earnings came out. Their quarterly earnings, you know, were $1.15 billion. Right, that was their revenue in the quarter, and they single-handedly highlighted, you know, three things that were a huge part of that. Number one was FIFA, number two was Madden, and number three was NHL, all of them Ultimate Team and digital revenue related to it.
Money, money, money.
So while writing a check for $150 million and having to wait 2 or 3 years might seem to be a significant ask, and it is, there are payoffs, but that leads me to the other part of this, which is even if somebody were to build a brand new NFL licensed AAA football game, they would be crazy to do anything other than completely base it around a very different business model than football games have ever been based on until the last couple of years. Like, why would you spend all of the time and the money to make a Madden and have it have a franchise mode, right? Or online leagues, when the money to be made in this is not in that? It's purely in the card trading, you know, obsessive compulsive, you know, behavior that Kat Bailey, as you wrote in US Gamer today, you have completely, they've gotten you, Kat. They've pulled you in, right?
No, they haven't. I'm out. I'm done. That was a very nice way of plugging my article, by the way. I really appreciate it. Just go check it out in US Gamer and read about how Madden Ultimate Team is the devil. I was going to say, though, that that's assuming that that's all people play. And the second that you take out the career modes and that sort of thing, you're alienating the casual fans. You're alienating the ones who don't speak but who are the silent majority. You're alienating the people who come in here and play a season with their favorite team and win the Super Bowl and go, hooray, I'm awesome, I won the Super Bowl, and put away Madden and never think about it again. They aren't the whales that the Madden Ultimate Team fans are, but if you alienate them, then you risk really bad word of mouth, and then a lot of, and then people might start staying away, and you don't want that.
You also, you can't just, as a second product on the market, you can't just copy what the other game is doing. I mean, go back to NBA Live again and NBA 2K. Why would anybody leave NBA 2K for NBA Live when it's, if it's just going to offer the same modes, you know? And why would anyone leave the Ultimate Teams that they're spending hundreds of dollars in if they enjoy that to go do it on a different game? There has to be a different type of pull there. And I also don't think those Ultimate Teams are going to sustain for the next decade. They're going to have to evolve into something different. So any other type of product that would come in would have to offer something innovative, something fresh, to give people a reason to give it a try and to spend their money there.
You know who I think would immediately jump on the NFL license if the NFL decided to make it available outside of exclusivity for the EA? Microsoft. I think Microsoft would build a studio and get people working on the NFL license in a hot second if they could.
Here's my argument to that. And so Microsoft has a great relationship with Electronic Arts. In fact, they are the only ones who offer EA Access. And I'm telling you, Brian, you've already written about this a few times. EA Access.
I feel like I should write about it every time another game gets added, you know?
It's amazing. It is so good. The value that you get from EA Access versus what you pay for it. Like, you literally, if you want to play a bunch of good games anymore, buy an Xbox One and buy EA Access and you're there. But anyway, that aside, that's an example of the great relationship that Microsoft and Electronic Arts have. I think if Microsoft decided, and by the way, they're one of the few companies that could not only underwrite this process, but underwrite it and have it be a spectacular failure, and they wouldn't even notice, right? You know? But I don't, to me, the political ramifications of doing that and poisoning their relationship with Electronic Arts are much more of a reason why they wouldn't do it than, you know, dropping on $150 million measly dollars, which to them is, you know, pocket change.
I agree, Rich. That was one of the most amusing things about the whole Joe Montana football controversy, you know, over the summer when there was the big rumor that it somehow was a simulation title, was going to come out on consoles, and it was being stealth developed and all this other nonsense, was that you know, Microsoft had hired 2K to do this, which just doesn't comport with anything that resembles reality, not the least which would be if, you know, if a console maker could hire a third party publisher and say, do this for us, and now it's a first party game. Well, then that makes, you know, how many, you know, exclusive arrangements, you know, ridiculously overpriced and worthless. But the other thing is, you know, again, Microsoft has a great relationship with Electronic Arts. Microsoft has a great relationship with the NFL. I mean, you know, the Surface is on the sideline. We keep hearing all that nonsense about how its technology is out there. I also, however, think that Microsoft is content to be a partner or a channel for football as opposed to, you know, someone who actually, you know, produces or delivers it in the way of, you know, a broadcaster or a video games developer. Microsoft spent, what was it, $2 billion on Minecraft. And yes, I understand.
Worth every dollar, I think, by the way.
Absolutely. I understand the economics of this. They used money that they had overseas that they were sitting on that they couldn't, you know, realize a value of if they brought it over to the U.S. because they'd have to pay taxes on it. And it's a question of, can Minecraft generate more revenue than keeping that money in the bank does in interest.
Yes.
Yes. So it's not like
as the father of an 8-year-old boy who has lots of 8-year-old friends that are, and not just his, you know, friends, but his female friends. They are, every kid loves Minecraft. It's amazing.
Right. You know, but the point obviously is it didn't have to create $2 billion in sales in year one or year two or year one or two combined. It's still a good play. Microsoft has bought a moneymaker of NFL class already, and they did it for pennies on the NFL dollar, and they don't have to pay anybody else anything more in the future for it either. I don't see where anybody in Redmond will be like, yeah, let's horn in on the NFL license if that comes open. Let's compete with EA, you know, whose access is only on our console right now and whose Madden product is only on our console right now, you know, through access. That just doesn't it would make more sense for Microsoft to get into baseball if they wanted to throw money at a licensed sports video games philanthropy. It doesn't make any sense.
So the one thing, you know, that I try to remind myself of is maybe I'm looking at this the completely wrong way, right? We're talking about this in the constructs of things that we understand. Like, we understand the PlayStation 4. We understand the Xbox One. We understand Madden. Heck, some of us, Kat at least, understand Ultimate Team. You know what I mean? You know, we understand balance sheets, and we understand that digital revenue drives, you know, is significantly up. But, like, what if we're not thinking about this properly? What are some of the other ways that something could emerge that would disrupt this, right? Like, so I start to think about things like, okay, well, Apple, okay? If there's another company that could potentially, you know, spend the kind of money that it would take and have, you know, the patience of a couple of years to see the results of it, Apple is one. Another potential disruptor is something like virtual reality. Now, I am far from somebody who is on the virtual reality train. In fact, I am probably more pessimistic isn't the right word, but I'm, you know, I'm not somebody who's going to sit here and say that VR is the next big thing. I think it's, you know, somewhere between a 3D TV and a, you know, I don't know. It doesn't feel to me like it's going to be a mass market thing for several years at least. But Brian Weedy, what are, maybe there's another angle that we're not missing, sort of a next generation kind of implementation of some sort of combination of a football game and a football experience that's an NFL related thing that might make this whole discussion sort of moot. Is that actually sort of maybe the discussion that should be being held instead of, you know, some sort of conversation about, well, could Madden ever have a competition when it comes to like video games as we know them?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, like I said earlier, it's hard to kind of foresee the future, what's going to catch on, what's going to be popular, and where companies are going to invest resources and research and put money into research and development and what just what kind of traction those will end up having. And then also that's to assume that EA wouldn't just sign on to be their official partner for whatever new venture they're going to do anyways. But it's interesting you bring up Apple. I mean, there are companies that could, but I'm not sure why they would. It's not really going to add value to an Apple product to create some exclusive NFL game. It's just, again, it's hard to imagine in what scenario these things would take place when, you know, we wouldn't have imagined where we are now a decade ago.
But I think where we are now compared to a decade ago is pretty similar. Now, obviously, things like live streaming our games in our Press Row League, you know, and all of the social aspects, you know, online cooperative play and online play just being completely permeating, and, you know, some of the things that we experience, you know, to me they're not revolutionary, but they're certainly evolutionary. It feels to me that the next 10 years are going to look a lot different than the last 10 years. And that's just, again, that's sort of what I in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I think it feels to me like Electronic Arts, whether they meant to or not, has strategically eliminated any ability for anyone to build and have a chance to make a competitor to their known entity from now until this kind of video game is still being made, right? Because it's like, I don't know, when they struck the deal, Owen, with you know, the NFL in 2004-2005 to be the exclusive producer of games, do you think that they sort of had the strategic foresight to say, you know what, by doing this, we're going to pretty much make it impossible for somebody to build tech for the you know, the next gen, which is the PS4 and Xbox One, but by also maintaining that exclusivity, we're even going to make it impossible for the PS5 and the Xbox 2 or whatever they are, like, basically just because of the, you know, the animation and the physics and the tech. Like, do you think they realized at that time they were pretty much making it impossible for anyone to compete for 15 to 20 years? Or do you think that was just sort of a happy accident that they kind of stumbled into?
I think if that was, you know, anywhere, you know, on their radar, you know, it was probably second or third on the list of considerations for why they should, you know, pay the money that they did. You know, let's not forget the ferment of circumstances that went into, you know, the awarding of the exclusive license a decade ago. The NFL was in a position of, it wanted a single license, not just for video games, but for everything, you know, beer. I think we saw it, you know, shift from, you know, Budweiser to Coors and then back, you know, hats, things that have actually gone to the United States Supreme Court, unlike Madden, which of course was sued on a completely absurd antitrust, you know, claim, but we'll get into that later. These were two companies that understood each other well. The NFL could command a premium. The NFL wanted a single licensor for every single product that it licensed, from beer to peanuts to hats to video games, not just because of control, just because of the hassle, because it's another layer of approvals and staff members that you have to assign, you know, to deal with that kind of nonsense. But if you go back a decade ago and you look at Electronic Arts, if they were farsighted enough to go, hey, if we can lock out other people from developing on this, you know, development costs are only going up, it means that we'll have a de facto, you know, exclusive. I think that would be just be giving them or any other one, you know, too much credit. It is, to me, it's the kind of thing where you look at old media like newspapers, and the thing that kept people or kept competitors out of newspaper markets was they didn't have a printing press. That's an enormous capital outlay. They also didn't have things like, they weren't the newspaper of record, therefore the county or the city or other municipalities didn't publish their legal notices to their classified advertising, which sounds trivial to bring it up, but was also a revenue stream that was exclusively controlled by an establishment entity. You know, these are somewhat analogous to what we're talking about here with the relationship between the NFL, if you want to look on it as a government, and EA, if you want to look on it as a newspaper. And so what you would have to see to break up that relationship is a disruption in the medium or in the content as it is consumed. And we've hypothesized about things like, you know, virtual reality or mobile or, you know, I mean, daily fantasy is a very intriguing thing because it's like you see sports publishers go, man, how can we get in on this impulse or this action? And so they come up with things like FUT drafts or, you know, draft champions in Madden. And that's sort of a toe in the water. And I don't know, has NBA 2K offered anything, you know, analogous to that? But you see, you know, the instinct and the urge to lean in those directions, but it's not purely disruptive yet. But that's what it's going to take, is just sort of like a complete turning over the coffee table of how we consume the sports that we enjoy and the way that we consume it, you know, understanding that video games are only a portion of how people, how sports fans relate to their teams and the sports that they enjoy. And that's why I say never is because something will come. Some new form factor will come. It obviously won't be covered under the exclusive license that EA Sports negotiated in 2005 and extended 2, 3, whatever time since then. But it will come, and it just, you know, I don't have the imagination now to describe what it should be or could be. It'll happen, but under the present rules of the game, it's very much like newspapers and old media, you know, in those days. And as someone who is the son of a newspaper publisher and grew up in that business, I say, nice to see that surviving for now, but it'll be gone for soon. It'll be gone for sure.
Brian, you know your thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to say I do think this was a long-term strategy, because if you look at what they did, I believe it was the very same year they signed up an exclusive deal with ESPN for 15 years, and I think this was back in 2004, a 15-year agreement with ESPN. So they were thinking ahead. And even if you go back, I know I did, I think Owen did too, we wrote about this many years ago, wrote about how the NFL would probably be the ones regretting this exclusivity down the line, because the NFL essentially eliminated competition and the possibility of an upstart company or a competitor coming in and replacing EA down the line, because EA will have such a strong bargaining position as far as renegotiating deals, because, hey, you know, cut our deal this much money, otherwise you have to go with an unknown, a complete unknown, which the NFL does not want to do, a complete unknown that would take years to put together, and that you and that who knows if it's going to end up representing your sport well. So I do think they had the long-term strategy. You know, back in 2004, they may not have said, by this year, we're going to dominate the market and hold it. And certainly if they did think that, they would have imagined Madden was doing better at this point than it was. It's doing great in terms of digital revenue, but sales of the actual game have fallen over the years. So I think when they made that deal back in 2004, they definitely had an eye towards the future as far as how it would impact the company and their place in the market.
Well, you know, what's also interesting, right? We talk about EA, but the people running EA in 2004 are completely different than the people running EA in 2015, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're talking two or three CEOs ago. I mean, I don't know if John Riccitiello, who is the former CEO, was the CEO in 2004. I don't think so. I think it was somebody else. And, you know, I would be surprised if the senior executive team was even, you know, one quarter the same as it is now, and it might even be 100% turnover. Certainly, Andrew Wilson, who is the current CEO at the time in 2004, may have been running FIFA or may not have even ascended to that position. So, you know, it's also, you know, important to realize that the people making those decisions back then, none of them are currently at the helm. And, you know, it's interesting that some of the, you know, the senior executives of the company now are reaping the benefits. How many times have you seen companies make 10 or 15 year deals that went disastrously wrong, right? I mean, so, you know, serious props, frankly, to whoever did strike that deal, because, you know, it certainly, and it went through some lean years, but it certainly has turned out to be a profitable one. Cat Bailey, question for you. We often get caught up in our world of sports video game, you know, fans and the hardcore people, and even, you know, people like us. I don't consider us hardcore, but certainly we're well vested in these games. You know, they're part of our lives. Does it even matter to the mass market? You know, the people, you know, of the 5 or 6 or 7 million people who play Madden, you know, 50,000 of those people listen to this show, you know, and, you know, 500,000 of those people, you know, read Pasta Padre or Operation Sports or, you know, the kind of sites that are dedicated to this kind of stuff. I mean, of all of the people who buy these games, are a very small portion relatively really even know a whole lot about this. Does it even matter that, you know, Madden has the only exclusive license left, right? There's no exclusive license in the NBA. There's no exclusive license. You know, there are licensing that FIFA has over Pro Evolution, but there are two big-time, you know, international football games. There is no exclusive license in the NHL. EA is just the only ones who even make the game anymore. Does it even matter to the mass market, the people who do not represent us but represent the purchasing power of the significant majority of people who buy these games, that there is not a choice? You know, would they, if given the choice, would that be something that would be a fulcrum for a decision, or is this even almost a false argument?
I think it matters. And it goes back to that argument that we made before, where the hardcore base can often inform the opinion of the larger majority, because the hardcore base are the ones who are complaining about EA, they're complaining about Madden, they're complaining about the exclusivity, they're ranting about it on Reddit, they're ranting about it on social media and Google, and anybody who Googles that stuff and goes, is Madden good, will be getting that. And or they'll be telling their friends, they'll be like, hey, bro, is Madden good this year? And they'll say, no, bro, it sucks because EA has exclusivity, bro. And they'll be like, whoa, bro, that's whack. So,
Kat, you know that you're not a 22-year-old guy, right? You are aware of this?
I am a 22-year-old guy in a 33-year-old woman's body. That came out totally wrong. Anyway. Anyway, my point is that the base informs the great majority. So I do think it matters. I think when we're talking about all this, what gets lost in all this, you were talking about disruption earlier. I don't think that the current business model can remain sustainable. I don't think that the current annualized sports franchise can keep working where they're putting out a new game for $60 a year. I mean, when you consider the direction that games are trending, with streaming becoming more of a thing and digital becoming more of a thing and much more competition across all platforms,
I
would think that if people were talking about competition for Madden, it wouldn't be a big old AAA NFL game on Xbox. It would be a really smartly developed free-to-play mobile game for the iPad that's like super fun to play, which there are football games on the iPad, but
yeah,
they're not super great.
I was with you till that last part. I'm willing to state flat out that the business of sports video games is archaic, right? I mean, we saw it this past year. I mean, for crying out loud, Brian, you started writing about it in July. Way too many $60 games came out in way too short of a window. Like, there's just no way to buy FIFA, NHL, Madden, NBA 2K, NBA Live, Pro Evolution, you know, and those are just the sim sports game. I'm sure I missed one or two.
And that was a five-week period.
Right. And then Forza 6, which might be my favorite of all of them because it's just so good. You know, as well as things like, you know, the new Drive Club bikes and Ride, you know, like racing sports. Like, no matter how you look at it, all these games come out way too short of time. There's no way that anybody has $500 to go buy all of these games. But
the old annualized sports model comes from the fact that once upon a time we didn't have DLC, so you couldn't update the rosters. And it just became ingrained to the point that they still do it. And it works. Like, people expect it.
It's weird. Good. Are we wrong about this whole annualized sports games getting archaic quick?
I don't know. I mean, I have wasted so much ink or pixels, depending on the medium, you know, trying to forecast where things are headed with this. You know, it's hard to say that annualized sports games are, you know, going out the door when you see, you know, GameStop as relevant as ever, you know, making as money as ever, taking trade-ins as ever, telling, you know, Xbox, no, we're not going to sell your console with the Madden digital download, but we'll bundle it with a physical copy, and getting away with it. Yeah. You know, and that's for the time being. But I'm not smart enough to forecast how long this is going to hold out, because I'm also not smart enough to understand, you know, why Electronic Arts still sticks with NBA Live after all these years, except for, you know, the only reason would be maybe that it, you know, becomes some kind of a, God, I hate to put it this way, loss leader in its digital offerings, you know, vis-a-vis EA Access, which we have talked about on this podcast before.
And it's,
you
great.
Know, that's a real cream of mushroom soup, and I don't have any idea where the chunks are. it's one of these things, though, where I do think that I am always on guard for being bubbled in my thinking, for going, okay, you know, the thoughts that I have and the people that I read and the forums that I visit and the Redditors that I traffic and the people in my Twitter stream are the ones that are actually forming, you know, the opinion of America. That's baloney. I mean, there is a enormous country out here, the largest market in the world, that doesn't give a damn for what we're talking about right now and hasn't read anything that we've had to say, nor have they read anything that two people remotely connected to us have had to say. And that's why I guess things like NBA Live still keep going. And that's why, you know, things like, you know, Madden, when it was in the wilderness, I don't think it is now, but when it was setting sales record. I mean, you know, Madden NFL 12 was a good multiplayer edition of that franchise, but it wasn't anything else to write home about. Comparatively speaking.
As was the only reason I played that game at all. Yeah, Kat, I know you got some strong thoughts on
But I mean, it still set sales records. And, you know, the only reason...
absolutely did.
I mean, and it's not because there weren't enough... There wasn't a surplus of people, you know, in social media, in my comments on, you know, anywhere else saying that, you know, oh, this is another roster update. You know, EA is crap. Madden's crap. NFL 2K5 was better than this. You know, there is a huge marketplace out there that doesn't give a damn for anything we have to say on this podcast.
Yeah, just to show how objectively, or just how, like, I remember when Madden 13 came out, it was an objectively better game than Madden 12 in pretty much every respect, because Madden 12 had a lot of issues. But people flipped the hell out because it was named Connected Franchise.
Yep.
And they said, where's franchise mode? And they said, it's still in here. Your career mode is still, I don't see franchise mode. This is, connected whatever
connected
mode.
Careers.
Connected careers. That's not franchise mode. And they were like, okay. I mean, putting aside the fact that there was no, you know, what was it? There was no fantasy draft. That was a big deal. And
still
some other
set
things.
Sales records. Still set sales records.
The point is that people can complete, like the general public can come in and just blindside you with how pissed they can get over like things that you weren't even thinking about. So yeah, in some respects, yep, our opinion doesn't matter. Okay, podcast over. You can unsubscribe now and stop listening forever.
No, please don't.
No,
do
please
that.
Don't.
Kat,
no,
Billy,
please, God,
no.
Well, look, you're breaking the spell, Kat.
Look at what's thriving right now. It's NBA 2K and it's FIFA, and Madden's a tier below, and then everything else is below it and potentially a threat to be canceled at some point. So the current model works for the premier games, but along with the release schedule, the flawed release schedule that we have, which compresses everything into a small window, it's those other games that really struggle, and that's also what keeps other games from coming into the market. That's why you don't see, for the most part, arcade games or second games in sports, sim games. So it's just a perfect storm of trouble for everything but those, you know, the FIFAs that sell 15 million and the NBA 2Ks that sell 8 million and then maybe the Madden that sells 5 million. So something has to be done, and that could be as easy as changing and spreading out that release schedule, as opposed to some having to completely change the way games are delivered to us these days.
You know, one of the things that I keep sort of wondering is there even really a market? I mean, I think, Brian, you're the one who said that, you know, the NFL could support two games. But, I mean, you look at NBA, right? Like, there's not a market right now for two video games. Well,
it's a difference, Rich. The market could support two good good games, you know, as opposed – and they have to be different. They can't be the same thing.
I agree. Yeah. But let's look at Pro Evolution and FIFA. Okay, nobody that has played FIFA would argue that it's not a really good game, and I don't think anybody would compare Pro Evolution to NBA Live. I think anyone who's played both would say Pro Evolution is significantly better than NBA Live. Yet in the United States, right, it sells hardly any copies compared to FIFA. Now it is. We assume profitable enough around the world because of its South American and Japanese, you know, markets. It is able to justify itself. But in the United States,
they would have killed it if it wasn't.
Right, exactly. But in the United States, Pro Evolution is a non-factor with international football, which is the most popular sport in the world. So I'm not even sure that even if there was a viable alternative to Madden, that there are enough people in the United States that would actually spend the money to buy it. Because, you know, there's a couple different examples, real world 2015 examples, that would suggest otherwise, Brian.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at why do people continue to buy FIFA as opposed to trying Pro Evolution or whatever. First of all, in North America, soccer is still a niche sport. In some cities, like here in Seattle, it's very popular, but it does not have the widespread appeal outside of the World Cup for the men and the women. So where are people going to buy the game? They're going to buy it. They're going to spend that $60 again, just like I said with the release schedule, where they're comfortable. They know if they know they like FIFA, if that's where their friends are, that's where they're going to put their $60. They're not going to gamble with their $60 on a game that they also have to relearn and has different features and different controls and a different structure for digital content as far as their modes. People aren't going to change unless there's a reason for them to. And that's the same with Pro Evolution in the regions where it's strong. It stayed strong. People, not everyone left for FIFA when FIFA was considered to be the better game. In North America, I think with a football game, you would have people more willing to gamble with their, well, not gamble, but they'd be more open to another football game. Now, whether that means they would spend their money on that alternative in its first year or its second year, probably not. But over time, I think that could open, there'd be a window for that eventually.
Well, all right. I want to thank Brian Wiedeye from Hit the Pass and Pasta Padre. I want to thank Kat Bailey from US Gamer. I want to thank Owen Good from Polygon. This has been a lot of fun. While we certainly haven't solved the problem facing those of us who want competition in the football space, hopefully at least you come away from this a little more aware of what it would take to make these kind of games and what it would take to make a competition. We all want competition. But that competition may not come for quite some time. In the meantime, it'll be interesting to see how the sports game landscape continues to shape and evolve. So on behalf of everybody with the Press Row Podcast, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. We'd like to invite you to go check out hitthepass.com, a website all about the sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got written pieces, all about the sports games that we love. On behalf of everybody from Hit the Pass and the Press Row Podcast, thanks.